begin the current daf Masechet Zivah, Mes Daf Yud Beis. We begin 18 lines down for the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion for the previous daf, which is regarding the topic of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah opened up the Masechta regarding when you have one of these 15 women that they're in Erva, so then they're Patris Tzarasein Minachalitim and Yibim. So the Mishnah, the Gemara in the previous daf discussed a few other women that although they couldn't be mentioned in our Mishnah for various reasons, either because you couldn't have Tzaras Tzarasein, but they have the same principle as the Erva, either because they have the same characteristic as called Tumah. The point is that they are going to be exempt from Yibim Chalitza, and then they will also be exempting their Tzaras, like we had on the previous staff regarding Tzaras Saita, a discussion regarding Tzaras Machzik Rishasai. So Gemara continues on this staff with other cases similar to that regarding that them. Not only will these women be exempt from Yibim Chalitza, but they'll also be Patris, they will affect on some level their Tzaras too. So the Gemara brings the Amarav Lili Bar Mamal Omar Mar Ukva Omar Shmo. Tzaras Mimo Enes. A tzara of a woman that does mian. And that is if, let's say, there were two co-wives, two Yavamis that fell from a brother who had passed away without any children. One is an adult and one is a minor. Now the halacha is regarding a minor that up until she reaches age 12, she can do what's called mian. And that is since her marriage was really only rabbinic, because only her father could marry her off when she's a minor. The girl has to be an adult to have the marriage. If her father wasn't alive anymore, and her brothers and her mother instead married her off, so that's only rabbinic marriage, so she could refuse the marriage, that's what miyun is, at any point up until she becomes an adult. Now, we're talking about a case where the husband died with an adult wife and a minor wife. Now, the minor wife goes, when there's the yavam now, he gets to choose from the wives to do yibum, she refuses the yavam. So the halacha is, the tzar is going to be asura, the tzar is going to be forbidden. So the Gemara discusses exactly regarding this halacha of Shmuel, that he says that not only is the me'enes, the woman, the minor woman that did miun now to the yavam, that she's forbidden to him, but even the tzaris me'enes, the co-wives, meaning there's a bunch of adult wives, they're also going to be forbidden in Yibam. So the Gemara asks Laman, who was Shmuel saying that the tzara of the me'enes is going to be forbidden? If Shmuel was saying that the other co-wives are going to be forbidden even to the other brothers, not to the Yavam that the Ketana did Miyun to, but even to the other brothers, but the Gemara asks, Hashtahi Gufa Sharya, if the Me'enis herself is permitted to the other brothers, Dama Shmuel, Shmuel himself said, Miyano Bazeh, Muteres Bazeh. Although Shmuel's halacha seems clear that regarding the Yavam himself, let's say there's five wives and five brothers, and the one brother passed away without any children. So he has five wives, and let's say one of them is a minor. So now one brother is coming to do yibum. They appointed this brother, let's say the bechor, and then the minor wife says, "Look, I'm not involved in this process of yibum. I'm doing miyun. I'm out of the equation. I'm like my marriage never happened." So now in Shmuel's halacha, it's clear that the me'enes will be forbidden to that yavam, but. Added to that halach is what our Gemara is saying, that he said that even the tzaris, now all the co-wives, are also forbidden in Yibum. So the Gemara is asking, who are we talking about that the co-wives are forbidden to? If he means that even for the rest of the brothers, but Shmuel himself said that even the Ma'enis herself is going to be permitted to the other brothers, so how could she make the co-wives forbidden to the other brothers if she, who she's the source of this problem, is even going to be permitted to the other brothers? So Tzaras Mebaya, can you entertain to say that if Me'enis is permitted to the other brothers, that the co-wives would be prohibited? So the Gemara says, Ela Ledidei, must be, we're talking about, to that Yavam, that one of the brothers that he was appointed, he was coming to do Yibam, that the minor was Me'enis to him, that she's forbidden to him, then we're saying that not only is she forbidden to him, but all the co-wives are also forbidden to him. Now the reason for this is because essentially, when that minor does miyun to that yavam, meaning to say she was able to do it to her husband, but her husband died. Now she's 10 years old. She doesn't want to be involved in this process of yibum chalitza. She says, you know, I'm just out. I can just undo everything. So that's what miyun does. It says that the marriage wasn't a marriage. Now, however, the marriage was already passed. The husband died. So what she does is that, although marriage creates a zika, some type of a connectivity to the yavam, when she does miyun, so that just uproots the Zika and says that I never had the Zika because I'm doing miyun. It just retroactively removes the whole marriage. And therefore, she retains the old Isra of Eishasach. because she doesn't have the heter of Yibum, which is the functionality of what the Zika is. Now, Rashi asks, that doesn't seem to be so clear, because actually, that's not what Minyan does. Minyan will not just remove the new marriage that's created from the Zika, from her original husband's marriage. It's actually going to uproot the entire original marriage that she even had to the dead brother, and therefore, actually, she should be permitted to the Yavam, because it's not just now that there's no Zika, which is what creates the element of the heter of Yibum. She's never was married to his brother. So, of course, he could marry this minor girl that's 10 years old. She's not related to him. She's not Eish HaSachem, because she retroactively was never married to her brother. So Rashi says in the Hanami, as the Gemara will illustrate here, and later on where Shmuel's Halach has mentioned, that it's a Gezerah D'Rabbanan. Now, the rabbinic concern is that since she never did miyun by the first brother, by her original husband, and based on that marriage, she went and fell for Yibum to this brother, to this Yavam. Now, so she seems like Eish HaSachev. And therefore, like the Gemara says later on, similar to when Niris Kekalasa, as the Gemara will say on this daf, that it looks like that element. So therefore, she's going to be forbidden to him because it looks like Eish HaSachev. But now there's a Zika that permits her. But when she does Miyun, she's removing that Zika and then thus removing her heter from marriage to the Yavam. So she's forbidden to the Yavam. And not only is she forbidden, because since she seems like Eish HaSachev, so her tsaras, her co-wives also seem like tsaras of a forbidden woman of Eish HaSachev. And therefore, not only is she going to be forbidden, but even, meaning in other words, like an erva, that she's forbidden, and the tsaras of erva is forbidden, so therefore all the co-wives are going to be forbidden. But for the brothers, of course, she's permitted, because once she does miyun, she was never even their brother's wife, so all the other brothers don't have this element of niris, because they didn't have a miyun done to them, and rather it would just remove the whole thing, and therefore for the brothers, it's going to be permitted. And not only her, but also the tsaras, but regarding the yavam himself, not only is the Meme'enis going to be forbidden, again, based on this rabbinic concern that it seems like she's Eish HaSachev that doesn't have a mitzvah to permit her, essentially like an erva, and therefore even her tzars are going to be forbidden also. Now, that the Gemara asks, Umayishno Meme'enis Deshari La'acha. Now, what's the difference, as we just explained? We said that the Meme'enis herself, this minor girl, is going to be permitted to the brothers. Now, why is that? They didn't do anything with her. They didn't have a miyun done to them based on this zika that they were having with her. It was only the brother that had it done. So they're permitted because there's no like maris ayin, there's no niris over here. It doesn't seem like a Eish HaSachev. And therefore, once miyun retroactively removes a marriage, she can go ahead and marry to them. But the question is, tsara nami loy avda be'maisa. If it's the same thing as we had discussed in the previous daf, if you're looking at it, you could look at it as the brother that's represented to be the Yavam and the woman that's represented to have the Chalitza or the Yibam as a representative of everyone else. So then you would say that what's happening to one is happening to all of them. But here, obviously, from Shmuel's Halacha, we see that's not what's happening. Because we see that regarding the brother that gets the Miyun done to him, only he's forbidden, but the rest of the brothers are going to be permitted in the Meme'enis. So the same thing you should work on the other side of the fence. Regarding the wives, you should say that, look, yes, the Yavam is going to be forbidden to the Meme'enis because there was this action between them and there was seemingly like an Eish HaSachev element over here that doesn't have a heter because she did miyun to the Yavam, so therefore she's forbidden to him. But the co-wives, no activity was done to them, hence it should be seem like the brothers and therefore he should be permitted because halachically he really is permitted because once she does miyun, she uproots the whole thing and she was never married and therefore she doesn't even come into the parsha, so you should be able to go ahead and do Yibum to the co-wives. Now, Taisus does ask that it is seemingly difficult what the Gemara's question is over here, because although the Yavam didn't do any Maisa that makes forbidden the Yibam with the co-wives, only did it with the Me'enis, but since the Me'enis is forbidden to him, so halachically she's like Erva, and therefore the Tsaris are like Tsaris Erva. So how can you compare the Me'enis that permits the brothers, because there's no Niris? That's different than when he does that, when he has this forbidden relationship with the Meme'enis, so that makes her like an Erev, and then, of course, we'll then extend that to the Tsaras to make her like a Tsaras Erev. But that's what the Gemara's question is, that the Gemara is equating them, and therefore, the Tsaras should be permitted even to the Yavim himself, which seems not like what Shmuel's Halach is coming to say, that he says Tsaras Meme'enis is a Sur to the Yavim. So the Gemara says, you're right. Truthfully, it should be the same like the brothers. And the Tsaras Meme'enis should be permitted. But there's a gzeira mishum tzaras bita mima enes, that because we're concerned that if we would allow the tzara of a mima enes, we might come to permit the case of when the one who's being the mima enes is the yavim's own daughter who was married to his brother, and she's going to do miyun. And if we allow miyun, the tzara of the mima enes, we might come to allow it even the case when it's his daughter. And that is, we might come to allow it when the tzara of the me'enis is his daughter that was a minor, that fell for Yibam and she refused him. Where we say that the first original marriage will be uprooted, the one that was married to his brother, and then she wouldn't be, the other tzaras would not be a tzaras erva, like a regular me'enis. Now, Rashi first explains, and the Gemara will explain exactly, so what's the problem with that? What's the problem with tzaras bita is? So it's exactly because the tzaras bita me'enis. Now, what's the problem? As we said in our Mishnah, once one of the ervais do miyun to the brother, so then she was like never married to the brother. So then yes, although she was an erva and her tzaras are tzaras erva, but it wasn't tzaras erva because she was never halachically married. But Rashi first takes care of a problem that how can you have a situation where one's own daughter is going to be doing miyun to him, and if the father's still alive, if the halacha, as we just explained before, is that miyun only applies by rabbinic marriages, when the father didn't marry his daughter off, because that's a biblical marriage, you cannot do miyun. It's only when the brothers and the mothers, in place of that, there's no father, marry her off, and that's only rabbinically considered as a marriage, and then she can do miyun. So Rashi explains the halacha concept called Yisei Mebechaya Ha'av, which means to say a living orphan, in the sense of, like, as the Mishnah says in Perek Beishamai, that if the father married his daughter off when she was a minor, and then that husband divorced her, so she's like an orphan when the father's still alive, and that the father's schusim, his rights and his daughter to marry off and do different things, are taken away from him, and therefore if then after that, where the father has no more rights, but the brothers and the mothers are concerned that she's single, even though she's a minor, and they marry her off, then she could be doing miyun even when her father's still alive. So if they marry her off to his brother, in other words, let's say the brothers marry her off to their uncle, then you could have such a situation where the daughter will be married to his brother, falling for him for Yibum, and then she's doing miyun. So we don't allow a tzaras mima enes, which halachically should not be a problem, because of a case when that mima enes is actually his daughter, and she's doing miyun, and then the tzaras are tzaras erva, but she's doing miyun, and we don't want that situation for you to do yibum to the tzaras, and therefore we don't allow it even by a regular me'enis. So, but the Gemara asks now, what's the problem with that? But tzaras bita me'enis, yes, Sira, you're telling me Shmuel's halacha of tzaras me'enis asura is because of a case of tzaras bita me'enis, and therefore what? The Gemara asks, you think that's forbidden? That is also okay. But now we learned in our Mishnah, Daf Beis, it says, B'kulon, regarding all these 15 women that are arayis, that will exempt their tzaras from Yibam Chalitza. However, in Mesu, if they died before the husband died, or they did miyun, or if they got divorced before the husband died, then tzaras say in mutarais, then the tzaras are permitted. Now, the Gemara explains, D'miyanu b'man, who is it that you think that we're saying that if the erva, let's say we're talking about the case of the daughter in this case, did miyun, who is she doing miyun to? Ilema de miyun about, if you would entertain to say that it means that she refused her husband, so then hayna grusha, that would be the same thing as a divorcee. In other words, it's not that she died, but she got removed from the marriage, either by him divorcing her or by her divorcing him in a sense by doing miyun. So therefore, that wouldn't make sense to say another case of miyun, that it means in the husband she's refusing, because that's the same halacha as gerushin. Elala b'yavim must be talking about that she didn't do miyun to the husband. The husband died first, but then the yavim comes along, and let's say the case of the first of the 15 arayas that's mentioned in the Mishnah, that halacha is going on, b'kulon, which is have to say for the Mishnah, she refuses her father, says, I'm doing miyun, I'm out of this picture, I'm not involved, I'm making that I was never married in the first place. Now, so we see that even when the tzaras bitoy is being, that the bitoy herself is being mima enes, that then the tzaras are going to be mutaras. So therefore, what's the problem? You're saying that Shmuel said a regular tzaras mima enes is forbidden because of a case of when the minor that's refusing the yavam is not just going to be a regular minor, it's going to be a minor that's his daughter. And that we have a problem with. And therefore, we don't want to let it even in the case of non-daughter. But what's the problem? Our Mishnah says clearly that if such a situation happens, the tzaris are permitted because their equation is that she's removed from the equation by doing miyun. So the Gemara says, lie. It's not true. The halacha over there of miyun is not talking about that she was mamayin to her father, to the yavam. La'ilam abal, it's talking about she did miyun when her father's brother, her husband, was still alive. Now the question was, but it really says gerushin, betray gabni gerushin, but it mentions two types of divorce, you're right. One is when he divorces her, and one is when, so to speak, she divorces him, and therefore it's not a raya. It could be, like it sounds like from Shmuel's halacha, that tzaras bitoy mime'enes would be forbidden, and that's why we make even the regular tzaras mime'enes forbidden. But the Gemara asks, why? What's why? Maishno kiyam miyano bebal, why is it that when generally a regular girl, a minor girl, does miyun in her husband? For example, nothing related to our sugya b'yibum. When you have a regular minor girl that was her brother is married her off to this man. Now, if she does miyun when she's like, let's say 11 years old, so then she's actually permitted to her father-in-law. The reason is that krina l'nisuin, that totally uproots the nisuin. It's like as if she was never married, as if she was just being seduced out of wedlock by this man, and therefore she was never her father-in-law's daughter-in-law, and therefore she can go ahead and now marry him. So kiyamina biyavam nami. So the Gemara is asking, what's the logic behind this halacha? So we didn't disprove it from our Mishnah, but why? When she does miyun in the yavam, let's say even in the case we're discussing, when the yavam is her father, nisuin kamoi ka'akra, she's totally uprooting the original marriage, and therefore the tzara of even bitay mime'enes should be permitted. What's wrong? Those tzaras were never the tzara of the erva, which is his daughter, because even when she does miyun to him, she's saying basically, this marriage never happened. So if it never happened, just like she can marry a father-in-law after a classical case of miyun, she should be able to go ahead and be removed from the picture, and then the father could go ahead and do yibum to all the tzaras, because they were not tzaras of the erva of his daughter. So the Gemara answers, Mishum de Tani Rabbi Bayechaskum. The Tanya Rav Mechez, like he taught in the Braisa, Miyano Bebal, there's a difference, and we're going to explain this based on a similar halacha, which we're then going to relate to ours. Rav Mechez says that if a minor girl was Miyano Bebal, she did mean she refused the marriage to her husband. So then Mutaris Lava, like we just said, so then she's permitted to his father. Her father-in-law is not her father-in-law. She was never married when she did Miyan retroactively to his son. But biyavam, but Rami Bar Yechezkel says if she does miyun to the yavam, asur la aviv, then she's forbidden, not in the case of bitoy of our Mishnah, to her father, she's then forbidden to his father, to what was originally, so to speak, this quasi-father-in-law. Now, the reason why that is because since the original marriage to her husband, although she was a minor, created a situation of zika to the yavam, so Alma, we see that Mishas Nefila Niris Kekalosai. That means to say, from the moment of when this situation of Yibum was created, which is what we always call the moment of Nefila, falling to Yibum, to the Yavam, she's perceived to be like his daughter-in-law. Because if you weren't my daughter-in-law, you would not have been with a situation of Yibum to my other son. It must have been you were married to his brother, and that's why there's a situation of Yibum. Now, although halachically, yes, when she does miyun to the yavam, it is uprooting everything, but there's an element of niris over here, like a halachic concept of like marasayin, where they're just, it seems like that you gotta have been married to my first son, because or else you wouldn't have yibum, that a situation even of yibum to the other son, and therefore, although again when you're doing miyun to the other son, but you obviously look like my daughter-in-law, or else you wouldn't have come to Bezdin and had this whole situation. Therefore, that's what would forbid from now on her and her father, even though she's doing miyun, but she wouldn't be able to have this anymore, a relationship with her father-in-law. So therefore, the Gemara says, Hachinami. Same thing would apply to Shmuel's halacha about bitay mima'enes. That is, mishas nafila means to say, from the moment that his daughter falls in front of him from his brother for yibum, and she has to do miyun to him to uproot it, even though miyun essentially halachically is removing the whole thing. But niris, it already is perceived that like she was his brother's wife. And therefore, they seem like a tzara of ketzaras bitay. That makes the other tzaras at least seem like tzaras bitay. Because, what do you mean? If she was never married to my brother, there wouldn't have been a Yibam situation that she would have been coming to me and doing anything with me. What does she have to do with me? Even Miyun, which is totally uprooting the whole thing, but what's she doing it to me? Obviously, she was married to my brother. Now, she wasn't, halachically, because Miyun retroactively removes that. But there's this nearest element, and that's why the tsaris would seem like tsaris bitoy, and because of that maris, that seemingly visual, like it looks like that, the case of tsaris bitoy mime'enes itself would be forbidden. And not only that, because we're concerned of if we allow a regular tsaris mime'enes to go ahead and do yibum, we might allow it by tsaris bitoy mime'enes, and therefore we never allow any tsaris mime'enes in any situation, and that was the source of Shmuel's halacha. Now the Gemara moves on to another similar case as the cases we were discussing about tsaris mime'enes, tsaris machzik rishasa, tsaris saita, similar to the halacha of our Mishnah, that they will exempt their tsaris too. So Rav Asi says, tsaris islandess asura. Another case, the tsara of an islandess, that means to say, if let's say a man was married to two wives, and one of them was an islandess. Now the term islandess comes from the term of like an isle, which is a male, it's a ram, which a male cannot give birth. That's a similar term we give to a woman that doesn't have the female characteristics with the ability to have children. Now, then this husband died without any children. So the halacha is that not only is the illness herself going to be forbidden in being taken in Yibum, but she actually exempts even her tzara, and that's what Rav Asi is coming to say, from Yibum and from Chalitza. What's the reason? Something says the Pasuk in Devarim. The Pasuk says, V'hoyu ha-bachar, and it will be that the firstborn, Asher Tele, that will be born, which the Pasuk there concludes, will be Yokum Hashem Ochev HaMeis, will then be in place of the name of the brother that had died, without any children, and then his name will not be erased from the Jewish people, that is, although he died without children, but now when his brother takes his wife in marriage, and then that child will then stand instead of the father. Now, but one thing that you see from there, it says Asher Tele. That is, when the Yavama is taken by the brother, and then she will give birth, obviously means to say that the wife, the Almana, could go ahead and is fit to have children. Pratla Islandess, Shani Ledis, that comes to exclude an Islandess that can't have children. Now, since she's exempt, and this is what Rav Asi is coming to say, so she retains, she's not in the Heter of Yibum, because the Heter of Yibum requires Asher Teled, so she remains with her original Issa of Eshasach. His brother's wife. And therefore, the tzara is a tzara's erva of a prohibited erva of Eisha Sachiv. Now, Rashi explains, although essentially this pasuk that we just quoted in the Gemara, Bahoya Bachar Shatelid, we explain on Daf Chavdalam et Aleph that it's not a reference that it means the firstborn child of their Yibum union will create, rather, it's a reference to the Yavam. Bahaya Bachar is a reference to the Yavim should be the Bachar, and that's what the Gemara learns out. Halach is that who should do Yibum first? It's the firstborn of the brothers. However, still Rashi says, as the literal translation of the Pasuk sounds like, that although the mitzvah is to telling you really that the mitzvah is by the Gadol to do the Yibum, but we learn that from this point also to exclude the islandess from the words Asher Teled, because it's essentially, if you're not learning it on Pasha B'Shad, then the words Asher Teled is extra, because since it's just saying that the mitzvah is by the Bechayr, and we're just talking about the Yavim, so it should have just said, Bahaya Bechayr, that the firstborn should be Yaakov Hashem Achav HaMeis, he should now take over his brother that had died, and therefore his name shouldn't be obliterated. But what would the words Asher Teled mean? And therefore it's expounded as Rav Asi's bringing to say that actually that the child that would be born from them, which means to say that the Alness has to be a woman that's fit to have children, and if not, she remains an Eshes Ach, and that's an Erva. And therefore, her tzara is a tzara of an erva, and that's why even the tzara's alness will be exempt from yibum chalitza. Now the Gemara says, "Master Rav Shesha." Rav Shesha asks from a Mishnah on Lamed Aleph on the base. The Mishnah there says, "Shloisha achin nesuin sholish noshim nachris." You have three brothers married to three unrelated women. Umis echad mem. Now one of the three brothers passes away without any children. Vasa basheni maimer. Now the second brother, two brothers left. The second brother does what's called maimer. Now maimer is a type of kedushin, which is the first stage of marriage, of erusin, which is done with a yavama. Although it's not necessary, but there is a rabbinic level of kedushin with yavama called maimer. So he goes and says, here, I want to be engaged to you. Now, then umes. Then the second brother dies. So the Mishnah there says, ha re'elu. So then both of these women now, which is, let's say we're saying they're Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, and Reuben passed away, so the Shimon and Levi left. Shimon had one wife, unrelated to the other ones, but now he has this quasi-marriage to Reuben's wife, because he did Maimer. So, and that is what the Mishnah says, both of these women, meaning his original wife, and now this one that he did Maimer with, are Chalitzes v'lo Misyabes. So Levi, the one remaining brother, he does Chalitza to them, and doesn't do Yib to them. Now, as Rashi explains, the reason for this is because had the second brother, let's say Shimon, done total Yibim, he would have had relations with the wife of Reuven. So then the original Zika, which is this bond that's there until something is done, either Yibim consummates it or Chalitza removes it, but until something's done, there's this Zika. So had Shimon consummated the relationship with Asher's Reuven, so then that would have removed the Zika from Reuven. And then these two women, when they're falling for Levi, would have only had the Zika of Shimon, of the last brother. But Maimer doesn't remove the Zika from Reuven. So what it does is creates this quasi-situation where there's still a little bit Zika left from Reuven, because Yibim or Chalitza wasn't done with it yet. But there's also, when Shimon dies, a little bit of his Zika too, because she was somewhat of his wife. He did Kiddushin with her, this Maimer. And therefore, you can't do Yibim, you have to do Chalitza to both of these women. Shem, like it says a pasuk in the Devarim. The pasuk there says, it's a parashah in Yibim that says, Ki yishvu achim yachdav, if there's going to be brothers that are sitting and dwelling together, then the pasuk says, Umeis achad mehem, and then one of the brothers die. So the pasuk continues, it says, Vein Eimla, and he doesn't have any sons, any children, Lisi Eshes Hameis Achutz, Lishzah, should not go ahead and marry anyone else. Rather, Yavama, Yavay Aleha, her Yavam should go ahead and consummate that relationship. So on that, the drasha is, it says, Umeis achad mehem, and that one of the brothers dies. And then you do Yibim to that wife. Misha le zikas yav mecha, that means to say that only a yavama, a woman, that has the zika, the bond, of only one dead husband, one yavam, but le zika shnei yavamim, but not the zika of two yavamim. Meaning that excludes like this type of case, where she has two husbands that died, Reuben and Shimon. Now, both of those zikas are still extant. And as Rashi explains, now, really this halacha is that she's forbidden that has two zikas is actually only rabbinic. This pasuk that we're bringing down is actually a smach to be'alma, which means say it's just an illusion that we found in Psukim, as Igmar explains on in Perek Dalet Achen. Now, that's why she's not totally exempt. If it was an exemption from the pasuk, you would say that only if Meis Achad, and one of the brothers dies, but if she's coming from a death of two brothers, which is like this case conceptualization, then she would just be exempt. That should be part from Chalitza and from Yibum. And then she would even exempt her Tzara, because she would be like an Eishes Ach that doesn't have a Het of Yibum, and then you're its Erva, so you would exempt your Tzara's too. But that's not really the case, because that's only rabbinically that we give her this Halacha, which is really where the Maimer element comes in over here, that we see her as this quasi-wife, and therefore you can't do Yibum, rabbinically, but there would still be an obligation of chalitza. Now, moreover, Rashi explains. So why are we saying that chalitzais, you have to do chalitza to both of them, and why can't you just do chalitza to one of the women? Is because they're not coming from the same bias, same husband that passed away. Because since Shimon never fully consummated the relationship with the Ashes Reuben, so therefore, essentially, this woman's really still the Zika of Reuben, and the other wife is really the Zika of Shimon. Now, if two brothers die with two separate unrelated wives, they're two separate mitzvahs, and you have to do chalitza to either one of them. And that is because had Shimon not done Maimer to Reuben's wife, and let's say Reuben would have died and Shimon would have died, so then Reuben's wife would have only had the Zika from Reuben, then actually Levi would have been able to do Yibim to both of them, because then it would be like two Yavamas coming from two different, quote, Batim, two different brothers, and then you would do Yibim to both. But in this case, since Shimon did a Maimer, so it created this, you can't do Yibim, because essentially it's somewhat of like she's not Omis Achad Mehem, there's two brothers that die that caused her to fall for Zika, so it's like two Zikas, so therefore she's not eligible, at least rabbinically, for Yibim, so therefore, but biblically you still are. So you have to do, you can't just, you'll be exempt from Yibum, but you'll still have to do Chalitza, and you'll have to do Yibum Chalitza to both of them, because on some level she's still Eishes Reuven, and she's Eishes Shimon, and it's two separate Zikas, and you would have to do Chalitza to either one of them. So that's that Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So now, but this is the point of what Rav Shesh is coming to ask from on to the halacha of Rav Asi that's saying Tzaras Eilness is Asur. Says B'Ketani Allah. Now we learned on that Mishnah that Rabbi Yisrael said an explanation of that Mishnah that he said that Zuhi, this woman, which is the wife of Shimon, the original wife of Shimon, is a Tzaras Eishes Ach Me'av. Why can you not do Yibim Tar? Why do you have to do Chalit Tar? Because she's the Tzara of a paternal brother's wife. That is She'is Nefila Garmla. That she's unique, this case. Because what happened is why was this woman exempt? Not the Tzara, but the woman herself that had Reuben, was Reuben's wife, and he died. Then Shimon did Maimer to her, and then he died. The reason why you can't do Yibim Tahar is because she fell two times from one Zika. So it's not a Meis Achad Mehem, it's like Meis Shnayim Mehem. Now, Shalem Metzina B'chal Torah Kula, we don't find such a concept in the entire Torah, which is that the woman will become Aser, even though she's not really an Erva. And that is, as we explained, it actually is only Rabbinic that she's Aser. But the point is that she's not an Issa Erva. And yet, in spite of that, even though she's not Issa Erva, but we say that we're not going to allow her to do Yibum, so she becomes an Eishes Ach without a heter of a mitzvah Yibum. So that makes her Tzaras a Tzaras Eishes Ach. But again, it's unique because she's not really an Erva, it's just we're removing her from the ability to do Yibum. So therefore, we don't find anything like this in the whole Torah, Kagain Zeis. Like such a case that we described, which was the case of the Tzara of the woman that's coming from two batim with one zika. That's what Rabbi Yosef had explained, that what's unique about that case. So now is what Rabbi Sheshesh asks, now zuhi lemutimai. When Rabbi Yosef says this is unique, you never find something like this, which is not an erva, but yet we're removing her from the ability to have a heter of yibum, so she becomes like an erva of Eishes Achiv, and then she'll exempt the tzara, which is Eishes Shimon. Lav lemuti tzara's island is, isn't that obviously coming to exclude the case of when the woman is a tzara of an islandess? And that is obviously Rabbi Yisrael saying is disharya, that must be that then the tzara would be permitted, because we only find this case is what Rabbi Yisrael is saying, where the woman's not really an erva, but since she's excluded from the mitzvah of yibum by default, because she doesn't fit into the pasuk, which would allow it to do yibum, so then, oh, she's like an erva, so then her tzara becomes like a tzara's erva, but an illness would be different. Now, Tesis Hashem explains that we would have to exclude the case of tzara's illness, because that's the only one that shares the same characteristic like this woman on the Mishnah of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the whole exclusion of an islandess, an islandess is not an erva either. She's a regular woman. She doesn't have any close relationships with the Yavim. It's just that she doesn't fit into the pasuk. It says Asher Taylor that she has to be fit to give birth. Now, an islandess is not. Whereas other types of ervas, that we wouldn't need to say Zuhi to exclude. So isn't it excluding the Tzara's Alness, not like Rav Asi had said that Tzara's Alness will be Aser? No, there's only one case is what Rabbi Yosef is saying. The case of the woman that has two Zikas and in one situation of Yibam. That is where it'll create an element of like this type of Erva and exclude a Tzara's, but not in the case of a Tzara's Alness. I think Mara says Loi. Actually, not. Lemu'ute Tzara's Alness, you're right. It's saying Zuhi. That case on that Mishnah, where she has two Zikas, it's going to exclude Tzara's Alness, but not the way you think, which is you're asking Rav Asi to say that, oh, it's excluding that thing, that only over here is it a problem for her Tzara, but that by Tzara's Alness, she'll be permitted. No, actually, it's excluding Tzara's Alness, Da'asira, that she'll be forbidden. So the Gemara says, Umay Zuhi, what does that mean? This is the one of the case of the Zikas Beis Yevamen, which is a problem, which is Aser for her Tzara, and yet you're saying it's excluding the Tzara's Alness that'll make it Aser? When I hear it's also Aser. So I think Mara says, no. Zuhi de Issa Nefila Garmla, only this case of the Zikas Beis Yevamen, is it that the problem of the Nefila, it's a problem in the process that creates this Erva status for this woman, either of the Zikas Beis Yevamen or of like by the Alness, where they're not essentially Arayas, they just become based on their exclusionary criteria of the Mitzvah of Yibum. But only in that case will it be that Tzarasa Boi Chalitza. Yes, this is unique, where although we're removing them from Yibum, because it doesn't fit into a Meis Achad Mehem, but the Tzar will still require Chalitza. However, this that we're excluding Islandness is to the other direction. However, Islandness, Afil Chalitza Leboi, But idleness will not even require chalitza, exactly like Rav Asi had said, where tzaras idleness is a surah, not only is she exempt from yibum, but even from chalitza, not like the case of zikis beis yivamen, where although they're, yes, they're excluding it from yibum, but there will still be an obligation of chalitza. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the difference? Why do you say, by the exclusion of the zikis beis yivamen, that there will at least still be chalitza for her and her tzara, whereas over here, by the idleness, you're going to say that it's going to be exempting not only from yibum, but even chalitza? So the Gemara says the difference is hadai reis. The case of the tzaras alnis is biblical, and that is because that when it says teled, so we exclude from teled an islandess, because an islandess cannot give birth, which then makes her into an erva of eshes achiv. So therefore, her tzara is a tzaras alnis of an erva, and therefore you don't even need chalitza. Whereas had rabbanan, as we explained, as the Gemara will explain in Perek Dal Anachim, that this halacha of being forbidden to the third brother is only rabbinic. And this that we brought from the pasuk of Meis Achad Mehem is only an asmachta, only an illusion. And since only rabbinic, when there's a rabbinic problem in the yibum, we say, look, it cannot totally remove the zika. We can say that we don't want you to do a yibum because this is rabbinically at least some level type of an erva. But since biblically it's still a chiyuv, therefore there's still an obligation of chalitza. And that's what Zuhi is being excluding it actually to the other way, to say that tzaras alnis is going to be totally usur, exempt even from chalitza. Now the Gemara asks another question. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah on Daf Beis. We said, V'kulon, regarding all the 15 arayas, imesu oimianu, if they died, in other words, before the husband died without any children, oimianu, or if they did miyun, oiniskarshu, or if they got divorced, oishin nimtsu alnis, or they were found to be an alnis, a woman that can't have children, tsarasei mutaris. Then we said that the tsaras of these women, even if, let's say, they're an erva, which generally an erva will exempt the tzaras, will be mutaris, will be permitted. So therefore we see that an islandess, yes, an islandess is exempt from yibum, however, she will not be oiser, as tzaris say. The Mishnah says clearly, the tzar of an islandess, even a problematic islandess, which is an erva, let's say, bito, chamis, or whatever it is, will be permitted. So how can you say the tzaris islandess is forbidden? Nothing more says like kasha, although it sounds like a good question, where it sounds like clearly, the Gemara says it's totally different cases. And that is because Khan, the halacha that Rav Asi was talking about, was shehikerba. Which means to say, when the husband went to marry this woman, he knew that she's an alnis. He liked her, he wanted to marry her, in spite of the fact that he saw that she doesn't have the female characteristics and she can't have children. Hence, what that means is that the marriage was not what's called a mekach tois. It wasn't a mistaken acquisition, because he knew that this, generally you could say it's a mistaken acquisition, that a wife is to have children. Here he knew she can't have children. So of course she's going to be considered like his wife. And if she's like his wife, so her tzaris are tzaris alnis. Now the Torah exempts the alnis from yibum, from asher teled. So therefore she's like an erva of eshes achiv, so her tzaris are tzaris erva. But Kan, our Mishnah is talking about something different. Our Mishnah is to loy hikerba, which is that when he married this one of his many wives, because he has tzarais, he didn't realize that she doesn't have the female characteristics of having children. Now, what that means is that when he does find out that this was a mistaken acquisition, and what that means halachically is that she was never his wife. Like any mekach, when you make an acquisition and it was mistaken, then you get your money back. And therefore, the tzara is going to be permitted because she wasn't, quote, tzaris alanis, because she was never his wife to make the co-wives a co-wife of her. And the islandess is out of the picture, so the tzaras are not tzaras islandess. And that's why they're going to be mutaris, just like the other cases of when they get divorced, or when there's miyun, or when she dies, that at the time of the marriage, they weren't her co-wife, and therefore they're not a problem about tzaras erva. As the Gemara says, Dekanami Diktani, actually a precise reading of our Mishnah, illustrates this resolution that we just described, because it says, Shinimtsu. It says, as we read the words, oishinimtsu alnis, or they were found. I mean, what do you mean found? After we were married, it suddenly happens, we find out, oh, she's an alnis, but loikatani shahoyu. It doesn't say, and that if they were alnis, shmamina, obviously there's that discrepancy that if she was an alnis beforehand and he knew, so then it's marriage, a regular marriage, you chose that, and it's not a mekichta. So of course, the tzaris will then be tzaris alnis, and just like she's an erva because of asher telet, so they'll be tzaris erva. However, when it's nimtsu, oh, that means we were never married. So you're out of the equation. So now they're not the tzaras of an alnis, and therefore, that's why our Mishnah says that they could be misyabemis, that they're mutaris. Now, That was Allah of Ravasi, and the Gemara said that there's no contradiction. But Amar Rava, Rava argues. Rava says, Hilchasa Tzaras Alnis is Mutaris. He says, not like Ravasi, he says, the Tzar of an Alnis is permitted. And not only that, Afila Hikarba. Even if the brother that passed away, he knew beforehand that she's an Alnis, which again, because the other case, obviously our Mishnah says, and Ravasi agrees to, but he's coming to argue in Ravasi's case. Even if she was his wife, I agree. Still, the Tzaris will be permitted. And Vafila Tzaris Bitoy Alnis. Not only that, that she is his wife, and there's a problem for her in Yibam because of Asher Teilid, but even if she's an Erva of Bitoy, but she's an Alnis, then the Tzaris will be permitted in Yibam. And that is, they will not be considered Aser because they're Tzaris Bitoy, because, as Rashi explains, when the Torah made forbidden, this is where Rava argues on Ravasi, when the Torah said that a Tzaris Erva is forbidden, as we'd explained on previous Dafim, that's only in a case of mitzvah of Yibum, where we say that the Tzara of an Erva is forbidden. As we said, because Litzra is where the source of Tzara is learned out from, and Aleha qualifies that and says, only in the mitzvah of Yibum will there be a problem of Litzra. But if your daughter is married to someone, a foreign guy, and he dies, you can marry her co-wife. There's no problem because it's not in the makom of mitzvah. It's only by the mitzvah of Yibum, where one of the co-wives is an erva to you, that then even the tzaras are forbidden. Now Rashi explains the logic over here. Since, even if it's his daughter, this islandess is not an erva that's fit for Yibum. Essentially what that means is that the tzara is a tzaras, quote, erva shaloi b'makom mitzvah. This erva of Bitoy is not an erva in a situation of where she's falling for you for Yibum, because she's not in the mitzvah of Yibum. Because Asher Tele tells you that she's not even going to be eligible for the mitzvah of Yibum. Hence, the tzarais of an islandess are going to be permitted because they're a tzara of an erva shaloi b'makom mitzvah, almost as if they were married to a foreign guy, not to your brother. Because the element is not if it's your brother or not. As Rashi explains Rabbah's opinion, it's only if it's an erva b'makom mitzvah, which means to say that the erva falls for you in the mitzvah of Yibum, but you can't because she's an erva to you, then even the tzaris will be exempt from Yibum Chalitza. But here, since she's an islandess, what that will do is say, she's not b'makom mitzvah, she doesn't even enter the parsha of Yibum. Asher Teilid says, we're not even talking about her. So therefore, even if she's an erva of Bitoy, but she doesn't enter, so she's like an erva shalei b'makom mitzvah, an erva shalei b'makom mitzvah, the tzaris are not forbidden, as we said, because litzra, which forbids the co-wives, is only when there's aleha, and aleha is only when there's a makom mitzvah. And since she's an islandess, there's no makom mitzvah, and that's why Rava says the tzara of an islandess, even of bitay islandess, will be permitted in Yibum. But then the question is, but we just explained how clearly our Mishnah sounds like Ravasi, but ve'alahadig tani shenimtzu, but we said, it seems like from our Mishnah that it's only if she was found later to be an islandess, which, based on the principle as Ravasi explained, is because it's mekachtoyis, so it's like she was never a wife. But if you knew before you married her, and therefore she is a full-fledged wife, so then it seems like, not like Rava, that case, tzaras alnis, should be asura, because it sounds like that if you knew beforehand, that then they would be forbidden. And that the Gemara answers, t'nei shehayu. You should read, in the Girsa, it's not dafka, if she was found out later to be an alnis, but actually it means, or if shehayu alnis, even if she was an alnis, meaning even if before the marriage, still her tzaris will be permitted. Again, as we explained the logic, as Rashi brings from the Bahag, from the Halachas Gedailis, that it's because she's like a tzara of an erva shaloi b'makom mitzvah, which does not make a co-wife forbidden. Now, based on the last three cases, the Gemara brings that Kiyasa Rav and Amar B'yechanan. He says, regarding all these three cases where there was some element of saying that maybe the tzaris are going to be forbidden, so he says, no. Echas tzaris mime enes. Whether we're talking about a tzara of a minor girl that does miyun to the yavam, again, which he's coming to exclude from the opinion of Shmuel, who said that tzaras mimenis will be forbidden because of a gzera of tzaras bitoy mimenis. And he says, v'achas tzaras alnis, or whether we're talking about a case of the tzara of an alnis, a woman that doesn't have female characteristics, where he's coming to exclude from Ravasi, who said that the tzaras alnis is asura, rather he's coming to say like Rava. And moreover, a third case, or whether she's a tzara of when you took back your divorcee who had already married someone else, which was the question that we discussed on the last daf, regarding that maybe the tzara is going to be forbidden there also, on that Rabbi Yochanan says, kulan mutaras. He says, all of these tzaras are permitted, they're not considered a tzara of an erva to be exempt, and therefore, he explains regarding all these three cases, as we had explained them in greater detail, that there's no problem about taking them in the mitzvah of Yib. Now the Gemara goes back to the discussion of our Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Beis. So our Mishnah said, as some bring the Girsa to say over here from our Mishnah, that v'iyato yecholayme b'chav meisei shemiyano, that although we said that if either one of these 15 arayis is divorced or dies or does miyun or isn't found out to be an illness, if that happens, then the tzaris will be permitted. Because it comes out that the tzaris were not a tzar of an erva. Because if she's dead before the husband dies, so at the time of nefila, they weren't litzra aleha. Or if she does miyun, that means that she was never married, so they weren't the tzara of her. Then the tzaris of this erva would not be halachic tzaris erva for the parish of Yibim. Now the Gemara brings the following discussion, which will then be asked from our Mishnah. Tanya Bibi Kamed Rav Nachman. So Rav Bibi taught in front of Rav Nachman, he says as follows, he says, Sholish Noshim Mishamshis B'meich. There are three women that can have tashmish, can have intimate relations with a meich. In other words, they're allowed to put a meich, an absorbent fabric, in the place of tashmish, in the place of where they have relations, when they're having relations, so that she shouldn't, that should absorb the zera, and that she shouldn't become pregnant. And these are the three women: Katana, a minor; Muberes, a pregnant woman; Uminika, and a nursing woman. As the Gemara explains, Katana, the reason why a minor can use some type of a meich of protection not to become pregnant is Shema Tisabe, Shema Thomas, because maybe she'll become pregnant and maybe she's going to die. It's dangerous, and for that concern, we allow her to use this meich. Muberes, a pregnant woman, there's a different concern there. Shema Taso Uber Sandal, maybe her fetus will become a sandal. What that means is, he'll become a child that doesn't have the regular figure of a face. And as the Gemara says in Masechtas Nidah of Chofei Mabez, that a sandal only happens if there's another child. Meaning, it's almost like the Gemara that compares, if someone slaps his friend in the face and he turns his face backward, that's essentially what happens when if a woman is pregnant, and then when she's pregnant, she becomes pregnant with another fetus, that one pushes the previous one and then makes his form deficient, and that could be create a difficult situation. Because of that, we say that if she's going to have relations with her husband when she's pregnant, she can use a meich. And the third one, Menika, a nursing woman, is Shema Tigmal B'Nabiyamas, is that maybe if she's going to become pregnant, that will diminish her milk supply, and she's going to stop nursing her infant, and then the child will die because the child will not have the nourishment, and therefore we say that a nursing woman also can use a meich. Now, on that, the Gemara says, ve'ezi katana. Now, what is considered a minor that's fit to become pregnant and then die due to the pregnancy? That's mibasir alf shana v'yamechad. That's from a girl that's 11 years old and one day. Ad yudbe shana v'yamechad, until she's 12 years old and one day. That is the window of when we said she's considered a minor that she could use a meich. However, pachis mikan v'yasral kan, but if she's younger than 11 or older than 12 in one day, then she could go ahead and have regular relations, as Rashi explains. Because less than 11 years old, she's definitely not going to become pregnant. And older than 12 years old, if she's going to become pregnant, she's not going to die. That's the Rimeh, that's the opinion of Rimeh. The Chacham Ayrim, they argue, they say no. Achazu v'achazu. Whether she's older than 12 or younger than 11, or even in that window of between 11 and 12, when she's 11 years old, mishameshes kedarka v'alechas. She could go ahead and have regular relations without using a meich. Now, from heaven, they will have mercy on her and not create the situation where she'll become pregnant and die. Mishem shenem, because like it's based on the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, shomer b'sam Hashem, Hashem watches and safeguards the simple one. And that is, we go ahead and we do what regular marriages are, and there's regular halachas of tashmish and having relations. Now, although you might be concerned that maybe she'll become pregnant and die, we don't have to be concerned for that, and we could rely on Hashem that he'll protect. That is the discussion, the Brice, the Rabbi Torah, and Rav Nachman. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Miduka Amar Shemetis Abba B'Shemet Thomas, from the fact that the Brice said that this 11-year-old can use a meich, because maybe she'll become pregnant and then maybe she'll die. Now, it doesn't say that for sure she'll die. So it sounds like that if it said Thomas and that she will die, it would sound like, okay, if she becomes pregnant, she's definitely going to die. It doesn't say that. It says Bishema Thomas, maybe she'll die. So Machlal, we're concerned of the situation that she might die, so we're allowed to use a Moich. But it sounds like that there could be a minor girl that could become pregnant and not die. Simkein, so the Gemara asks, Metzinu chamoisim ima enes. That's a problem on our mission because it comes out that you could have a mother-in-law that could do niyan. So that would be, for example, if let's say, as we said, that a woman could give birth when she's still a minor, which is in that year, in her 12th year, meaning when she's 11, between 11 and 12, which is called in her 12th year, where she could become pregnant and not die. Now, if let's say a man goes and gets engaged to her daughter, this 11-year-old had a child, a daughter. A man goes and gets engaged to the daughter. Now, it comes out that his mother-in-law is still a minor, and therefore, she could still do mean, because you could do mean, you could still refuse your original husband up until age 12. Now, Batnan, we learned in our mission that says, I'ato yochel loimer, you cannot say this halacha of miyun bechamaisai by your mother-in-law, ve'em chamaisai, and your mother-in-law's mother, ve'em chamav, and your father-in-law's mother, who they were from the 15 arayas. You cannot say shenim to alnes. You cannot say that they would come out to be that they were alnes because they had children. So they obviously cannot be a woman that cannot have children because they had your father-in-law or your mother-in-law or your wife. And neither can you say ushimianu that they did miyun because they're obviously adults and they had children. But wait a second. It sounds like from that brisa that a minor at age 11 can have a child. It's risky, she might die, but she could have a child. And therefore, conceptually, it's possible that one could go ahead and have his mother-in-law, who's married to his brother, do miyun to him, and thus create a situation where the tzaris of chamoisa or em chamab will be permitted based on them doing miyun. So the Gemara gives an answer and says, no. You're right, we have to amend that brisa. Ema shemet tesabe b'tamas. It means that no, the reason why 11-year-old who is a katana can use a moich is because maybe she'll become pregnant and then she will die. Dama Rabbi Bar Levi, he says, Gvul Yeshla. There is a certain boundary over here regarding this concern. Kaidim Hazman Hazeh, before this age bracket that we said, meaning before age 11, Se'ena Mesaber is Kalika. She doesn't become pregnant at all, no problem, you can have regular relations. Teich Hazman Hazeh, within this window of age 11 to 12, he mesa vubara mes, she dies and her fetus dies. La'achas manazeh, after this age, meaning after age 12, so hicha yevubrachai, she lives and her fetus lives. And therefore, what we're saying is that it means that she for sure will die. So not maybe. The reason why she could use a meich is because she will die. And there is never a case of a minor girl having a child. And that's why you can never have the case of chamoisai, of being in a situation of miyun. Now, the Gemara asks, is that really so, as we just answered? But Vatani Rabbi Shmuel said as follows. He brought this brisa that Iyatu Yochalem B'chamaisa, which explained this halacha of Amishnah, you cannot say regarding his mother-in-law, Ve'im Chamaisa, and his mother-in-law's mother, Ve'im Chamav, and his father-in-law's mother, Shinimtu Al-Nasai Shemianu, and the brisa explains the reason why, Shekfar Yoldu, because they already gave birth. Now, from the fact that the brisa explains this halacha of Amishnah, in the fact that they have a child, sounds like that they're still a minor. Because if they weren't a minor, you should have said something much better. You should have said they can't do mean because you're an adult. You can only do mean up till age 12. So forget about children, even if she didn't have a child. Just by being an adult would say that you can't do mean. So from the fact that the Bryce explains this halacha of a Mishnah that the mother-in-law can't do mean anymore because they already gave children, sounds like that but she's not an adult yet. She's still 11 and 3/4. And so therefore we see that a minor could give birth. So if a minor could give birth, so why can't you have the case? What's the understanding of this halacha? First of all, it refutes what we tried answering of the first teretz in the Gemara that say that, oh no, maybe she'll become pregnant and then definitely die. You can't say that because obviously you see that the brisa understands that a minor could give birth. But the problem why you could, the mother-in-law cannot do mean is not because she's a minor. It's not because she became an adult, it's rather because she gave birth. But you see that even though she's a minor, she can give birth. So the Gemara says, rather the truth is that you're right. Not the way we amended the Braisa. The reason why a minor could use a maich when she has tashmis is because shema tisabe b'shema tamis. As you're right, she's not for sure going to die, as we see the Bryce understands that his mother-in-law could be a minor, but cannot do miyan because she had a child, not because she's an adult. So obviously, a minor could give birth, but it's just a very precarious situation, and therefore we allow the utilization of a maich. But then the Gemara asks, okay, so belakasha hav, so we're back to the original question. How do we understand this Bryce? L'chaira, it seems like, so who cares that they gave birth? But still, she's a minor, and therefore, her mother-in-law should be allowed to do miyun to him because she's not 12 years old yet. So that the Gemara brings us to the second test in the Gemara. Amar Rav Safri says, and this explains how the Brais has explained this halacha, that banim harehim kisimanim, children are like simanim. Simanim means to say when there's two pubic hairs by a male or a female, it says that they're an adult already. Therefore, what the Bryce was explaining is that you cannot have a woman that gave birth to do miyun, because even if she's still within her 12th year, she's not 12 years old yet, she's still not going to be considered like a ketana. She's already going to be considered like a gedayla, because the age 12 or 13 is not even the biblical status of gedayla. The biblical status comes from two pubic hairs. And therefore, if you have children, it's the same equivalent as having simanim. And therefore, she's already going to be considered gedayla, and that's why she can't do mean. Even though you're right, she's still 11 and 3 quarters, and as we said in the Braisa, it doesn't mean for sure you're going to die, and therefore such a case could happen, but still she cannot do mean. Now, the Ishtar, there are those that say actually that banim adifi misamanim, that no, not just that having a child is just like simanim, but it's actually better. What's different in that version of saying it's better? So I think Mar says that would come to include the Afil Rabbi Yehuda. That he says in Masechtas Nida, that he says, even if a woman, a minor, brought two pubic hairs, she could still do miyun at she'ir b'hashachar, until there's more black than white. In other words, until she has much hair over there in the makam of Tashmish. Then if she has more black hair, then only then can she not do miyun anymore. So that is what the second version of banim adivim misamanim would be saying, that b'banim moida, that then even Rabbi Huda would agree, even if she's 11 and 3 quarters, that since it's better than simanim, that then a woman would not be able to do mean anymore, and that would include in the case of our Mishnah that chamaisa cannot do mean, meaning even though she's just not even 12 yet, but since she has children, it's even not even misimanim, and therefore a situation of mean cannot happen with one's mother-in-law. Now the Gemara continues to talk about Gimel and Aleph for a third teretz, which is similar to the second teretz. The Rav Zvi Amar, he says, no, the reason why the mother-in-law, though she's not even 12 yet, and he married the daughter, and therefore she could be falling for him for Yibam, and therefore she should be allowed to do Miyan, is because ein banim b'loy simanim. You cannot have a child without already having had pubic hairs, without having simanim. And therefore what that means, as Rashi explains, is that even a minor girl that has a child when she's a minor, it's a chazaka. We assume, halachically, that she already had simanim. And even though the simanim happened when she was in her 12th year, she's not even 12 yet, she really cannot do mean anymore, because that means that she had full-fledged simanim. That's because Rav Zvid holds, which is a halachic discussion elsewhere regarding, which the Gemara Masechtas Nida discusses, about teich zman kela achas zman. If within the time of before you reach 12, is that the same as afterwards regarding simanim? And that is, we don't say it's like a shuma. And generally, there are those who say that if you're not 12 yet and you have two sires, That wouldn't mean that you're a gedayla. It just, maybe it's just some type of something that's not a necessity, that's a sign of that you're an adult. It could mean it's just like you have different birthmarks, you have different things. But Rav Zvid says that no, that if you're having a child, that automatically means that you had these two sires and that they were simanim that you're a gedayla. And that's why the mother-in-law cannot go ahead and do mean, even though she's 11 and 3 quarters, because we have a chazaka that she obviously had the simanim. So the Gemara asks, if that's the version he's using, that it's not that banim themselves are simanim, which that's the second teretz of Rav Safra, that he said that, no, you never had simanim. It's just the same equivalent in maturity, that it's like the same thing. He's saying, no, you need simanim. But if you had a child, it means to say that you had simanim. So the Gemara asks on his teretz, so benivdik, go ahead and inspect, check if she has the two sires. You're saying it's chazaka that she had, check, and then you'll know. So now the Gemara says, no, cheshin hashem anashu, we're concerned that maybe they fell out. And therefore, maybe she had them, and they're not here anymore. But the fact that she had a child is chazaka that she had it. So the Gemara asks, "Hani chalaman the machayshin." So that's very well according to the opinion. This is machlekes mesechtes nida daf menvav menalv. If we have this concern about if we check and we don't see that maybe she had already and they just fell out, But according to the opinion that says that we're not concerned to say and speculate that maybe she had, so what are you going to say? If you check and it's not there, so we assume that it wasn't there. So why is it saying that the banim will be chazaka for that, but we checked and it wasn't there? So the Gemara says, even according to the opinion that says generally we don't assume, we're not concerned if we check and it's not there, but because of the pain of what childbirth creates over there in that area, even that opinion would agree that we would be concerned that maybe the hairs did fall out due to childbirth, and therefore the fact that she had children will be a chazaka. And although we checked and it's not there, we usually don't consider that as a concern that she had it and that it fell out, here we will be due to the childbirth. And that's why Reb Zvid also answers why Chamoisei cannot be Mema'enis, although she's not even 12 yet, she's 11 and 3 quarters. But however, since she has banim, it reveals that she obviously had simanim, and if one has simanim, even within the 12th year, it has the same halacha as la'achar zman, and therefore she's considered as an adult, and an adult cannot do mi'an.